T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, welcome back. Second hour of the show. I'm going to get into this Norm Macdonald thing because that got very interesting. And for those of you who are not familiar with what happened, and Norm Macdonald was one of the producers and one of the writers on Roseanne. And he's friends with Roseanne Barr and also Louis C.K., as many comedians kind of hang together. And he said something in their defense because of the friendship that I think got misconstrued. And now he's the target of a lot of people. Jimmy Fallon was going to have him on the other night. And he's friends with Jimmy Fallon. They know each other very well. But Fallon caved because he said that there were women on his staff that were weeping, that were crying because they were having Norm Macdonald on. And he basically was sent packing. So the whole thing is kind of amazing. We'll explain here. We'll also talk about the new iPhone that got announced yesterday and whether or not it's bigger and better. It is bigger. We know that. We have a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. Joe Holloman, Jane Duker, Meg McBride, also comedian Sarah Tiana, who's very, very funny. She's going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour. Let's go out to North Carolina. And we're tracking this big storm. Al Jones has been with us a couple of times here in the last couple of days on KMOX. He's with 1010 Winds in New York City. He's in North Carolina. Where are you right now, Al, just to get the geography straight? And are you in the, the target of this storm?
Well, the storm is still up in the Atlantic, slowed down considerably. I am, I'm in Wilmington, so I'm in that piece of land that kind of sticks out at the bottom of North Carolina. And we're at the base of the Wrightsville Beach Causeway. It's the only bridge that takes you out to Wrightsville Beach. And that strip of land, it's a very popular place. It's completely covered with condos and homes, a lot of boats. But right now it's completely deserted. There's mandatory evacuation of those barrier islands for good reason. And the bridges going out are closed. And, of course, now we can add twisters to the mix because this entire area is under a tornado watch.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of one of the weird aspects of hurricanes that I've heard about in the past, that there can be a lot of tornadoes that sprout out of them, right?
Yeah, especially to the northwest, where that's the quadrant that gets the most wind. Now, earlier today, the mayor was talking, so was the governor, trying to tell people, don't be so fixated on this category. It's Category 2, Category 3. The winds are not quite as strong, but they're still over 100 miles an hour. They're more fixed on the storm surge. That's the big thing with this storm. That's what everybody's been talking about, is when you go 8, 9, 12 feet of water up, that big surge coming in, that's going to go right up the land. It's going to go right up these rivers and tributaries, and it's going to flood this entire area. Now, you can only hope that it doesn't get to that 12-feet mark, because that's really going to wreak havoc with most of this area, because this whole town is very low. In fact, this whole end of the state is essentially flat.
So you mentioned how the storm has weakened, and we talked about this just a little bit. It's not unusual for these hurricanes to be downsized, downgraded, and then it could be back to Category 4 or 5. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. But one of the things that I've heard in much of the coverage today is maybe don't be fooled by that, because the intensity, that really deals, the category aspect of this deals with the wind speed, right? And that doesn't mean it's going to minimize the storm surge or the amount of rain.
Right. Category is all about wind speed. That's all it is. It doesn't take into effect the surge and the rain. And you remember, there's some maps that show Wilmington, this area, getting upwards of 40 inches of rain, if you can imagine that. And I've heard from locals that one of the real problems here is that Wilmington downtown is up. It's on a little bit of a hill, but everything else around it is very low, all the way out to Raleigh. So you can get flooding, tens of miles inland. Flooding you wouldn't expect, but the rivers and tributaries are going to start backing up, and there's no place for the water to go. So there's going to be flooding throughout this entire region.
There's this strange dynamic that occurs, and let me try to explain it this way. There's a lot of hype for these things. We want to make sure that people stay safe. Guys like you go down to cover the stories to make sure people have the information. The TV stations do their live shots, and they're standing in the water because that's a visual thing. But then you hear that this is one of the biggest hurricanes to ever hit this part of the country, and when it gets downsized, there almost seemingly is, from the rest of the country, a little disappointment from this this perspective, not that people want to see, you know, people dying or devastation, but when it's built up to a certain level and then it looks like it's not going to be at that level, then it's weird again. I don't know if you have a perspective on that or not, but people seem to be let down for some reason.
Oh, no, we've heard, you know, the people we've talked to today, mind you, those are the folks that are going to stay no matter what. I mean, they wouldn't be here Thursday afternoon if they hadn't planned on staying all along. They all mentioned, you know, it's Category 2, we've had Category 1s, it can't be that bad. That's their line of thinking. But the governor and the mayor are kind of trying to guard folks against that complacency. Don't be let down. Don't let your guard down thinking that a Category 2 means all that much. And they keep going back to that same old thing, that storm surge. That's the thing that tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon we're really going to have to look for. And that's where the real problems are going to occur.
How many people have you spoken with that are going to stay? And is the reasoning just because they feel they can ride it out and some of these things aren't as bad as predicted?
Yeah, we've downtown, you go down to Wilmington downtown, the downtown area, which is historic, been there a long time, it's up, elevation's up. The people that live down there, and there's a lot of apartments there, those are the folks that we've been talking to, because that's really about the only center of town where you can see a lot of people. Everywhere else, when you drive around, everything's boarded up. If there are people there, you don't see them. They're not outside, and the businesses are all closed. There's not a lot here to attract people. Most, I think, have heeded the warnings and gotten out. But the folks that are here, yeah, you get that element that, you know, they want to experience a hurricane. They've never done that. That's a little odd. You also get the folks that, you know, nothing's going to chase me away from my home. You get that bravado. And then you have other folks that, well, really have no place to go. They don't have family. They don't have friends they feel they can impose on. So they stay here and just ride out the storm.
Al, have you covered these before? Hurricanes?
I did post-Katrina for about 2 weeks, which was enough. And I've done, so this is my third hurricane.
So where will you be when this thing starts moving in? How are you going to seek shelter?
Well, we stayed down in Wilmington here, but we're going to be heading up to Raleigh, which is, it's about a two-hour drive, but it's probably an hour and 15 from the coast if you could go straight across. But no, we're going to be up there. And yes, they're expecting a lot of rain and all that, but nothing like here. The hotels here, most of them are close to the water because if you're vacationing, that's where you want to be. And unfortunately, that means they're at a very low level. I don't think I'd want to be in one of those when the water starts coming up.
Are they open, those hotels?
Some of them are. Some of them are open. Some of them are booked. And, you know, they're especially the ones downtown, they're completely booked. In fact, hotels for miles around are booked. People left the barrier islands. They left the very lowland, and they went in a little bit and have a place to stay now. Now, the governor had warned against that. He was telling folks, you know, don't go 10 miles
from David,
because that's not where the water's stopping. He wanted folks backing up past Raleigh, go to Charlotte, go further up. But, you know, when your home's here and you don't really want to go that far, you end up not very far away.
I guess so. Al Jones with 1010 Winds in New York, down in North Carolina right now, covering Hurricane Florence, getting ready for impact. Al, stay safe, and we'll see what happens here in the next couple of days.
Yeah, and we're starting to rock and roll now because the wind, we got a nice rain band going and the car's rocking and the trees are moving. So, yeah, it feels like something's happening.
I can see, I've been watching a little bit of the coverage and I can see that on video. So, again, safety, most important, and good luck with everything. And we really appreciate the time that you've spent with us.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Al. It's 312. You know, the story today has been on the president and his tweet because he said 3,000 people did not die in the two hurricanes that hit Puerto Rico. When I left the island after the storm had hit, they had anywhere from 6 to 18 deaths. As time went by, it did not go up by much. Then a long time later, they started to report really large numbers, like 3,000, and he just went in a different direction because it always has to be about him. The thing about that is look, some of those death toll numbers are a bit nuanced because they take into account, I mean, it may be hurricane related, of course, but you had people who did not have power. They didn't have water, clean water or food. There were elderly people who died. I think the president was trying to point that out, but it's hard for me to believe that let's say the numbers are off by, let's just say they're off by 1,000. You still have 1,900 people who would have died in those hurricanes, Hurricane Maria in particular, in Puerto Rico. So it again is one of those unforced errors by the president and doesn't make sense because I thought they were doing the right thing. I said this yesterday. He was supposed to be in Cape Girardeau today for a campaign stop. And they're not there because the focus is on the hurricane. This could be a real important moment for President Trump, making sure that his administration is on top of things, making sure that people are safe, making sure that there's proper emergency response, all these things. This is what the federal government is supposed to do for people. A lot of things that the federal government does now that is not a constitutional mandate or requirement or should not be their responsibility. This is one of the reasons we have so many trillions of dollars in waste and the debt and deficit. But when it comes to keeping people safe who might be in the eye of the hurricane or big natural disasters, this would be something that they'd be responsible for. The other thing that I wanted to get into, and I don't think I have time today, maybe we'll spend time tomorrow, this whole notion, and even let me back up a little bit, because what you are going to have, no matter what the response is it's going to be President Trump's fault. We all know that. No matter how many people die or how big the flooding is, the Washington Post in an editorial yesterday actually had the audacity, which should not come as a shock to many of you, to blame him already for the hurricane that's moving in because of his policies on global warming and climate change. There is no evidence. And I would challenge, you know, one of the academics at WashU or SLU or anywhere else here in St. Louis to give me proof that the intensity of hurricanes, especially in that part of the country, you can go anywhere, or the number of hurricanes has gone up because of climate change. It simply has not. Now, I'm not a climate change denier. I've made this clear many times in the past. I am what would be referred to as a lukewarmer. I do believe the climate is changing. What I don't believe is that we cause all of that climate change. And there are some great graphs up on Dr. Roy Spencer's site. If you go to drroyspencer.com, climatologist, NASA guy, he was at NASA, one of the smartest guys out there on this. And he, again, he's not a climate change denier. He comes at it from a common sense perspective. And I think that that's necessary. You don't get that. You don't get that balance very much. Same thing could be said about tornadoes. People like to claim, and the folks at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch editorial board, without anything to back them up, that the number and frequency of devastating tornadoes is up. It's simply not. And there's nuance to that. Look at all these big, beautiful houses that are built right on the water where the developers and the people buying those properties know damn well that a hurricane might move in, and in all likelihood, it will. So you have more devastation because you have developers, same thing with tornadoes. You got houses and property and subdivisions that are built where there used to be trailer parks. We always used to say, well, a tornado is going to hit a trailer park. That's because that's what was in some of those areas where the tornadoes were touching down. So you have to be careful here about the blame, and most of the media will not be.
Making America great since 1925, KMOX.
All right, so this Norm Macdonald thing is really annoying me because I think he's being treated unfairly, and here's what happened. Keep in mind, and one of the reasons that I actually loved Roseanne, the reboot, is because of Norm Macdonald. I think he's one of the funniest guys out there, and he and Wanda Sykes were writers on that show. So he knows Roseanne Barr. He knows Louis C.K. very well. Louis C.K. wrote the foreword to his book, and this is sort of what got him into trouble. He said, Louis C.K. and Roseanne are the two people I know, and Roseanne, this goes to the Me Too issue, just to make sure nobody's lost. Roseanne was so broken up after her show's reboot was canceled that I got Louis to call her, even though Roseanne was very hard on Louis before that. But she was just so broken and just crying constantly. There are very few people that have gone through what they have, losing everything in a day. Of course, people will go, what about the victims? But you know what? The victims didn't have to go through that. Now, he clarified those comments with Howard Stern yesterday and on The View. Why he was going on The View, I don't exactly know, but he was on The View, and this is with one of the most annoying people in all of television, Joy Behar.
You kind of lose me when you imply that the hardship that your friend Louis C.K. is a friend of mine too, really. I know him a long time. That the hardship that he went through is equal to the hardship that the victims went through. Right. That doesn't compute.
No, it's not
Can
true.
Can you explain yourself a little there?
Yeah. That's not what I was saying. When this happened, I was rooting for Roseanne when Roseanne's thing went down, and I called her the next day, and she was crying the whole time I was talking to her. Right. I've known Roseanne for a while, and I was worried about her because she seemed really, really in a bad place. And I said, I can't really talk to you about this because I've never been through anything like this. And I said, I know Louis, and he's been through this, where he's had everything taken from him.
Right.
And I said, not many of us have gone through this, and so you should talk to each other because and then the guy said, what about the victims? And I said, well, the victims haven't gone through this. I was talking about this particular event. Of course, the victims have gone through worse than that.
Oh, you can't say anything like that, though, Norm MacDonald. You should know that by now. John Gabriel is the editor-in-chief of Ricochet, ricochet.com. Wrote a great piece about this today. Invited him to come on. John, how are you?
Doing great. How about you, Mark?
I'm good. But man, some of this stuff has just completely gotten out of control, and this is another example. And in your piece, I want you to tell this story, because I had not heard about this until today, and I actually heard a good portion of the interview that he did with Howard Stern. But he's supposed to be on The Tonight Show. He's buddies with Jimmy Fallon, and Fallon cancels him at the last minute, right?
Right, yeah. And that's kind of the disappointing thing, is Norm was longtime friends. I think his first job in comedy was writing for Roseanne's original show. And he's known Louis C.K. for many years, and they hit a rough patch, and he tried to help them. And instead, he was waiting to go on Jimmy Fallon's show, another longtime friend, who basically said that we can't have you on the show because it would hurt the show. So, and Jimmy Fallon explained, well, people are crying over what you said. And I'm like, really, crying over it? And Norm MacDonald seemed rather bewildered at that. What he said wasn't that big a deal, really.
Yeah, let me just go over that. He says, people are crying, senior producers are crying, and Norm says, good Lord, bring them in and let me talk to them. I didn't even know I had the capacity to make people cry, so I felt bad from that comment. Jimmy said, come back, whatever you want, but I think it will hurt the show tonight. And he said, Jimmy, I don't want to hurt your show. That's the last thing I want to do, is hurt your show. So, no, good thing, you know, Jimmy Fallon wants to stick by a friend, I guess, right?
Oh, I know. I thought that was pretty lousy.
Have some guts, man. Have some courage. You know, it's an opportunity for him to have Norm MacDonald explain himself.
Exactly. And that's the thing. And that's kind of the frustration of this outrage culture that we have, is if someone says something you disagree with, the good thing to do is not try to shut them down. It's to say, I disagree, and here's why, and have a conversation over it. That's how adults used to converse with each other and have disagreements. You know, if he says something and you disagree, you know, I wouldn't have phrased it exactly like Norm phrased it. They're not friends of mine, obviously, but I would just say, oh, I disagree. I think you should consider this point. You'd probably say, oh, good point. And that would be the end of it. Instead, it's let's, you know, kick him off his show. Let's kick him off The Tonight Show. Let's protest him. Let's yell at him on Twitter. It's like, it's okay if people disagree and have different perspectives on things. And I'm sure I say things wrong all the time. And when I do, my friends just say, hey, that's messed up. And we talk about
it. Yeah, well, the mob mentality has gotten out of hand. And you addressed this. So there's two things here. Because seemingly, and I'm not defending Louis C.K. or Roseanne or any of these things, Harvey Weinstein. And I saw that video from Harvey Weinstein that got released yesterday, too. And that was disgusting. But on the other hand, I think there's different levels of misbehavior. Harvey Weinstein being on the far end of the spectrum. Roseanne, what she said, I think, was egregious. But do you deserve to have your career completely taken away from you in these circumstances? But the other part of that is, maybe that happens because of the moment, but there is no path, John, you point this out, for any redemption, forgiveness, or any of that whatsoever, is there?
Right, and that's what we're seeing happen. Kind of the social justice left is enforcing. They've created this really complicated set of rules and regulations and laws and of this new morality. And all they do is condemn people, and you're guilty, and we hate you, and you need to be fired. But there's no way to bring someone back. There's been many people kind of caught up in this Me Too thing who might be totally innocent. Others might have done something small wrong.
Like, well, and he offers, by the way, he offers the example of Chris Hardwick. And I'm a fan of Chris Hardwick. He's a comedian. He hosts The Talking Dead and the show after Fear the Walking Dead and The Walking Dead. He's a funny guy, but he got accused of like one person and almost had his career ruined. And they vetted that at AMC and he still has his gig. But there are still people out there upset about that.
Yeah, there's still people attacking him on Twitter months after this happened. And there is no evidence behind it. And I think that's the problem with this kind of social justice, mob justice kind of mentality, is there's no way for any kind of redemption. If you have strayed, I know Aziz Ansari is another example. Basically, it just sounds like he's a big cad when it comes to dating. And that was
that was the woman who wrote the column about having a bad date. Right. It was
exactly.
It was a bad date. People have bad dates, but it became an entire column in Variety, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just he was kind of clunky and didn't know what to do and antisocial. I was like, oh, so like me when I was his age, probably.
Yes. A lot of us when he was his age.
Exactly. Exactly. He's a younger guy and he's awkward and he doesn't know what to do and how to relate to people. And that was it. There was no sexual assault or all these horrifying things that you've heard about in these other cases where people are abusing power. It's just women that he met that were like, yeah, that wasn't a very fun date, and that became a scandal. And I'm just asking, okay, and it's something that Norm mentioned in the interview, and the outrage towards him proved it, is just in the past you admit wrongdoing, you show contrition, and then you get a second chance. It's like, okay, yeah, we busted you, that was messed up, let's move on. There's no way to move on anymore. And I don't think it would matter what someone like Roseanne, who sent a really dumb tweet, or Louis C.K., which did stuff which actually are considered crimes. I don't know if the statute of limitations ran out or what. But, yeah, they were very bad. But it's like, okay, so what do we do to get these people back, you know, to change their ways and go back into the business? Or is it just they are persona non grata, they need to be cast into...
Yeah, I think it's that. I think that's where we are in 2018.
Right.
You know, the funny thing is here, maybe the ironic thing, if you come from the... I'm going to invoke the name of the president here. If you come from the Donald Trump, no publicity is bad publicity school of thought, I was unaware that Norm Macdonald had a show on Netflix that was going to kick off on Friday called Norm Macdonald Has a Show. And that's why he's doing the round of media interviews, you know, to promote the show. But now I think there are more people maybe aware of that show than ever. And he did say, I heard him say on Stern, that the president of Netflix had called to offer support and did not pull the show. But you never know about that. There's an effort to probably boycott that. So by Friday night, John, I don't know if that show will even be available.
Oh, I hope so. I've actually been, and why this stood out to me, I probably wouldn't have heard about it, but I follow Norm Macdonald on Twitter and have followed his comedy for a while. I just think he's funny, and mostly because he just kind of has this off-kilter
yes.
brand of comedy. He's a very funny guy, and I was looking forward to this show, and my first thought was, oh, they better not postpone this or something,
yeah.
because... he had hosted one previously for free on YouTube that I used to watch, a very similar format. So it'd be disappointing to see. And that's the thing, is we just need to come together and say, if someone says you something you disagree with, you don't need to get them fired. Just say, I disagree, and here's why.
Can't do that anymore.
All this hate and drama.
John Gabriel, the editor-in-chief of Ricochet at Ricochet.com. I appreciate it. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Important, you know, and I don't know. The whole world is turned upside down. Norm Macdonald, I think, is one of the funniest guys, period, out there. And again, one of the reasons that Roseanne's show was so good, because he was one of the writers and producers on that show with Wanda Sykes.
Get ready for the Cards and Dodgers tonight. Emerin Total Access 520. First pitch 6:15. Hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Want some good news, ladies and gentlemen, in a sea of bad news? Well, two things on the Cardinals front. Matt Carpenter's salsa is at Schnucks right now. You can buy it, limit two per person. I tried it this afternoon. It's very good. I told Zach from Schnucks I probably would have lied and, you know, said I liked it, even if it, you know, wasn't very good. Because
you are fake news.
I don't know that I would have done that, but I actually did like it quite a bit. The other news that is really encouraging is Yachty's in the lineup tonight. Thank goodness. They said maybe by the end of the homestand, we need him. And as my producer Dave said, we were talking here in the studio, he is the glue that helps this team, you know, stick together. And he just hits the ball. He just hits all the time, clutch hits, and just the defense we need behind the plate. So that's great news in advance of a very, very important series. The new iPhone was announced yesterday. Whenever that happens, we kind of get giddy and think to ourselves, do we need a new phone? You know, mine's only a year old, but now I already want to look at a new phone. Ian Scheer from CNET is our go-to guy, executive editor at a great site for technology. Ian, welcome back. Haven't chatted with you in a while.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you? How are things in San Francisco?
We're doing pretty well. We're almost on the summer season. As you know, the joke about San Francisco is that it is unbelievably cold during the quote-unquote summer months, and we only get to have heat in the city around this time. So September, October, it'll start warming up. Everyone's going to complain because we don't know what air conditioning is here in the city, and then we'll get into the winter.
Hey, if anyone there, I'll extend this offer. If you want to know what air conditioning is like, you book a trip to St. Louis in July of next year, and we'll help you out with that, all right?
Oh, I believe you, man. I believe you.
All right, so Apple announces this yesterday. It's funny because we were just saying in the studio yesterday, I'm looking at my iPhone, and you remember this big debate because you had to guide me through it. I was trying to decide if I was going to go with the 8 Plus or the 10. I ended up going with the 8 Plus, and I wanted that bigger screen size. And at the time, you could not get that with the 10, right?
Right, exactly. Now you can.
Yes.
So Apple has announced, it's really crazy. Apple has actually announced 3 new phones to choose from this year versus 2 last year. And the big thing about these 3 phones is that they all look like the iPhone X. So now there's no more home button. There's no more fingerprint sensor. Everything has that notch at the top, which if you have a nerdy friend bring up the notch, they will launch into a whole tirade about it because the nerd culture has become very fixated on this thing.
Why is that? Wait, help me out with that. Why is that?
a lot of people in Silicon Valley think it's ugly.
Okay.
And they think that, you know, having that little black bar at the top, and if you go on Apple's website, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's that it's at the top of the screen, and what it is it's where the cameras for the Face ID sensor is, right? And by the way, Apple chose to do this face unlock thing because they say it's significantly more secure than using your fingerprint. So it's also more easy to use. I certainly find it easier.
You know, and here's one reason I'm interested in it, because I have trouble. You know, if your fingers are a little wet, you can't use the thumbprint. And I've been using this app on the golf course. You know, they have all these great apps where you can track your distance and keep your score. And I can never open the damn thing up because my fingers are either wet or it just doesn't work right. So I think I might like the facial recognition.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, can you have sunglasses on with that or not?
You can actually have sunglasses and normal glasses. You can grow a beard. It works pretty well. We actually had CNET. We tested it with a bunch of different looks. We had someone come in and with costumes, and we really played around to see how far it could go. But now that there are 3 phones, one of the big things about these phones is that there's the iPhone X, the normal one. The iPhone XS is what it's called now. It's still $1,000. There's the iPhone XR, which is the cheaper version. It comes in a bunch of different colors. It has a lower quality screen, a lower quality camera. It's $750. And then there's the iPhone XS Max, which you try to say that 3 times fast. It costs $1,100, and it is huge. And the whole idea is that they want to see, A, how much are you willing to pay for a phone, which I have a feeling a lot of people are going to pay quite a bit.
I think they will.
And then B, they're offering what they say is the largest screen they've ever offered in a phone. And, you know, our reviewers got to play with it yesterday, and they were pretty impressed with the screen quality. Obviously, CNET, we're going to do our reviews on it, and you'll probably hear more about that next week. But in the meantime, a lot of people are really interested to see how far this whole iPhone XS Max idea will go.
You know, it's interesting because for all the debating that I did, and I know other people who did this too, on whether you get the 8 Plus, you know, with the bigger screen or not. And at the time, you know, like I said, I was kind of going back and forth. I can't even believe I debated for a minute whether I should get the bigger phone or the smaller screen, because the first day that I had it, all those other phones look so tiny to me, and I've been completely happy with this. I mean, it's awesome to have the big, and it doesn't even seem like it's big at all, you know?
Right. Well, you get used to it pretty quick. I'll tell you, there are 2 things that people tend to bring up with me when it comes to bigger size. One is pocketability.
We're still talking about phones here, right? Just to be safe.
Trouble. Yes. We're just talking about phones.
We don't need a Me Too moment, Ian. I'm just saying. Okay, go ahead.
No, I get it. So pocketability. And then the other part of it that they're worried about is holding it in their hands, right? These phones are bigger. And especially like when the first iPhone 6 Plus came out, this is a few years ago now, I used to commute on the bus all the time, and I would be on this, you know, I would be having one hand on the rail and one hand with my phone, and I found it really hard to get my thumb all around the screen with just one hand. So a lot of people kind of feel mixed about this, but I'll tell you, most of the world has moved in your direction. The bigger screens are super popular, especially for people where this is their primary device. Some people don't use a computer as much anymore. They are living off their phone. So that means the bigger screen, the better experience, and especially if they're watching YouTube or they're watching videos or whatever, they want to have those big screens. So they're hugely popular.
Well, I love mine, and I'm curious to see how many different features that this will have. The other thing I love about the, and I was messing with this, my daughter started soccer last night, and I don't use portrait mode enough, but it's awesome. Portrait mode is amazing for people who don't have it.
Yeah. And the new version of the iPhones have a new version of the portrait mode, of course, where you can actually change some of the look on it, and they say it's really impressive. The other thing that they did with the cameras that I think is really interesting is that they've made them work a lot better in low light. You know, when you're in a game that's going to dusk or it's the evening time or whatever, typically the phone photos don't come out that well because these cameras are so tiny, they can't capture that much light. But Apple says that they've done a lot of work with the software inside the new iPhones that will make it so that those cameras are able to capture a really good image. And what they showed was amazing. Again, we're going to have to do our reviews on CNET to find out whether that's true. But if they're able to live up to that standard, it's gonna really change the game in terms of phone photography.
Yeah, I look forward to, and look, let's be honest, that is sometimes the number one reason that people pick their phones, with the camera quality. I mean, it's just so important.
Number one reason for me,
yeah.
Absolutely. I've got a two-year-old, and taking photos of him is the number one reason I keep buying a new phone, is I want the best camera, yep, I can get every time.
I'm with you. And, you know, it's funny, when your pictures come up, like on Facebook Memories, and you just look at a picture 6-7 years ago, maybe even not that long ago, you can really see the difference. We always thought those were great pictures, but when you can see the clarity of the new phones, it's amazing. Any other Apple news that came out yesterday?
They do have new watches as well. And these new watches, it's really fascinating. What they're going to do is that they've gotten bigger, which is not that much of a surprise. But the big thing is that they have new sensors in them that can actually have an EKG. It's the first time consumers can buy an EKG machine. And it's in the watch. And the other part is that it has a fall detector. So it'll actually tell if you've fallen down. It'll ask you, hey, are you okay? And if you don't say you're okay, it's going to call the authorities for you and get emergency services to you. And imagine, like, Lifeline and all.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's the 2018, yeah, version of I've fallen and I can't get up, isn't it?
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. And let me tell you, the doctors and health plans are starting to look at these things seriously, because they, if you have one of these on, it's going to be cheaper for them in the long run if you're able to catch a heart problem or catch you in a fall and get you taken care of quicker. So they're actually already starting to offer discounts on these watches just because of that. It's amazing.
You know, soon enough, we'll be talking to you maybe a couple years from now. You'll get your medicinal marijuana right from your iWatch, right?
California, man.
That's right. All right, Ian Scherer, always great to have you on here in St. Louis. Try to survive that, terrible cold weather you guys get out in San Francisco.
I'll do my best. Take care.
We'll catch you soon. Ian at CNET, CNET.com. 347, Roger standing by. We have an audio cut of the day coming up as well. John Rooney with me at 420 this afternoon.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
It is sponsored by the Good Feet Store, supporting St. Louis Arches for 15 years now. This is Ruth Bader Ginsburg at an event at George Washington University. I thought this was interesting. She's talking about the confirmation process, for example, when she was confirmed 96-3, and went on from there, because she's talking about what's happening with Brett Kavanaugh.
It was the same for Justice Breyer, who was nominated a year later. He had in the 90s the numbers. Or think of Justice Scalia, who is certainly a known character in what was it, 1986? He had been a law professor and written many things. He had been on the D.C. Circuit. And the vote was unanimous. Every Democrat and every Republican voted for him. But that's the way it should be. Instead of what it's become, a highly fought show. The Republicans move in lockstep, and so do the Democrats. I wish I could wave a magic wand and have it go back to the way it was.
Yeah, lockstep is not good for the country. Brett Kavanaugh is experienced and qualified. That should really be the only question.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.